Rav Benny Eisner, Rav Binyamin, Rav Yitzchok, Yehuda Eisner, left the tzava'a. He left the will. The will was read at his levaya by his son Shalom. And in the will he writes, he asks the maspidim, lo laha'arich, shalo lahatriach et hatzibur, chas v'shalom, lo lahagzim v'shvachim, ki al zeh nenashim ba'olam haba. B'li neder, I'll try and keep to his tzava'a, not to unnecessarily be lengthy, and there's no need to exaggerate one iota when one speaks about Rav Benny. I'd like to share with you a story. It goes back about 25 years. On the bulletin board in BMT was a post-high school program. On the bulletin board, there was a pin to an article, to a letter to the editor that had been sent to the Jerusalem Post. The letter to the editor contained a request. It was written by an American who said that he was a tourist with his family in Yerushalayim, and he was on his way to the airport after a few weeks' visit in Eretz Yisrael with a packed car, packed rented car. He, his family, all their luggage. It was a pouring night. He was on the Jerusalem highway towards the airport, and the car conked out. He pulled over to the side of the road, and he's sitting there looking at his clock. At that time, people didn't go to the airport 3 hours in advance. An hour was enough, but here he's on the side of the road. Time goes by, 10 minutes, 20 minutes. No one is stopping. No one even sees the car. It's raining. And there are no cell phones. And all of a sudden, a car pulled up in front of him, a full car. And the driver of the car comes over to the window. He pulls down the window, and he hears the driver talking before the window went down, and he hears the words, "Can I help you?" So he told the fellow, "The best you can do is, if you see a police car, tell him that we're here and we need a tow truck and go back to Yerushalayim, because there's no way that our family is ever going to get to the airport on time with all of our luggage." The stranger said, "Do you have a key to your trunk?" The fellow gave him the car key. In the rain, the stranger took the luggage from the trunk, put it in the trunk of his car, came back to the window and said, "Okay, you and your family come into my car. I'll drive you to the airport." The fellow said, "You have a full car. Your kids are in the car." The stranger went over to his own car and said to his kids, "Wait here in this car, I'll come back within the hour." The fellow wrote the letter that he made the flight, and he wants to know, who is this angel? The reason that it was on the bulletin board is because we all know who the angel was, but he wasn't an angel. If the fellow just would have pulled down his window a little sooner, he would have heard the introduction, "Shalom, Ani Benny. Can I help you?" "Shalom, Ani Benny." That's how he introduced himself to everyone. Ani Benny. Not an angel. A very, very, very special human being. A true Tzelem Elokim. A precious neshama with an infectious smile, a passion, a fire, a love. The story tells everything. That's Ahavas Yisrael. That's pure, unadulterated Ahavas Yisrael. What Benny learned, he lived. If the Torah says, "V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha," that's what one does. He didn't just teach Ahavas Eretz Yisrael. He lived Ahavas Eretz Yisrael. Totally. He didn't just teach Ahavas Torah. He lived Ahavas Torah totally. He didn't just teach Ahavas Yisrael, he lived Ahavas Yisrael totally, totally. And he didn't just preach about Ahavas Hashem, he lived Ahavas Hashem totally, totally, totally. It was all integrated in him. Kuchibrichu, Yisrael, v'oraisa, chadhu. And Rav Benny loved HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and loved Torah, and loved Yisrael, and it was all one love. He was a Talmud Mufak of Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook. He had he lived his Ahavas Yisrael, his Ahavas Eretz Yisrael with a passion. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a very, very special schus. It was a schus that he earned, but it was a schus that he remembered his whole life. When the Six-Day War broke out, he was part of a small brigade of officers who were told, you defend Yerushalayim from the south. What did it mean to defend Yerushalayim from the south? They were given three jeeps, they were given some old rifles, they were given insufficient amount of ammunition, and told, you defend Yerushalayim from the south. So they took their three jeeps, drove to the south of Yerushalayim, and what did they see in front of them? A mountain, Har Gilo. And on top of the mountain, Jordanian tanks. And they were sitting ducks. So what do? So they charge up the mountain, shooting their rifles, just using all their ammunition. Kadosh Baruch Hu, person does the shtadlus, bitachon, tanks just turned around and went away. They kept driving, and they got to Kever Rachel. They liberated Kever Rachel. They put the Israeli flag on Kever Rachel, and Benny describes how he went inside and grasped the Kever and told Rachel, Rachel, you can stop crying. Mini kolech mi bechi, veinayach mi dima, shavu banim l'gvulam. Whenever Rav Benny would see an Israeli soldier, he would hug him. And he would say, you don't know. You don't realize what a lucky guy you are. You don't realize that you're the most privileged person in the world, that you're part of the Israeli army. You're defending Eretz Yisrael. You're defending Midianat Yisrael. When the last war broke out in Eretz Yisrael, Benny called his commanding officer and wanted to know where to report to. The commanding officer was in shock. He said, Benny, you're 60 years old. You don't report. You don't fight. You're too old to fight. Benny said, I didn't ask to fight. I want to give chizuk. Tell me where to report to that I can give chizuk. His entire life, all he wanted to do was to give chizuk. His entire life, all he wanted to do was to do anything he could for Eretz Yisrael. And he integrated his Ahavas Eretz Yisrael with an Ahavas Torah that was unbelievable. He was a special teacher. He was a very, very charismatic individual. He was part of Merkaz Harav. He learned there in the Kollel, and then he helped set up their Yeshiva Letzirim, their high school. He taught there, helped set up their Cheder, their elementary school, and he was in charge of Pikuach, he was in charge of their educational policy. And then he went to set up what he called the Mechinot Kdam Tzvayot, namely that a religious soldier, until there was a Mechina program, had two options. Either he go into the army for 3 years of regular army, or he go to the Hesder. Not everyone was built for the Hesder. And so a lot of religious soldiers went into the army, and unfortunately they got lost. So he set up a program with some other rabbanim for a year before the kids go to the army. There's a machina program. They sit and learn. They get chizuk for a year. And then they go to the army for 3 years. And he built that program, and he taught in that program, and he also interviewed for the program. And on Yom Kippur, he spoke in Gruz before Yuskar, and he described one of the interviews. He said a kid came in and wanted to know about the program. So Rav Benny described the program. We learn in the morning, then there's a break. We learn in the afternoon, a break. Learn in the evening, a break. Kid said, learn, learn, learn. I don't want to learn all day. I can't learn all day. It's not for me. Rav Benny turned to him and said, is your mother Jewish? You have to realize that's the biggest insult you can give a soldier in the Israeli army, to question his Judaism. Is your mother Jewish? The kid turned red and said, of course my mother's Jewish. Why are you asking that? So Rav Benny said, well, if your mother's Jewish, you must love Torah. You have a part in the Torah. You're a Jew. You have a part in the Torah. What do you mean you don't want to learn? It was so obvious to him that every Jew would want to learn. Just have to give it to him in the right way. When he taught Torah, he taught Torah with his Ramach and Shasa, with his whole being. He began teaching Israelis, and then he moved over to BMT and began teaching Americans. He started off with teaching Machshevet Rav Kook. Then he began to teach Bekiyus and Gemara, along with Machshevet Rav Kook. And then he moved to the morning and gave an Ian Shir, along with Machshevet Rav Kook. And then it wasn't enough for him just to teach. So he consulted with his Eishes Chayil, and they moved on to the campus. He had a home. He had a home in Kiryat Moshe, but he felt that the students needed, they're away from home. They need a father, they need a mother, they need a home, they need a kitchen, they need brothers, sisters. He moved onto the campus, L'shem Shamayim. He ate, his Shabbos table was in the Chadar Ochel. All the students sat around his table. He was the father. Not just the Rebbe, he was the father. His living room, to best my knowledge, he never locked his door. His door was never locked, and there was always light on in the living room. Anyone who wanted to come in would come in. And you sat there for a while, and then Rabbeinu would come out of whatever other room he would be in and say, you want to learn? And he'd learn with you. Or, you don't want to learn, you want to eat something, you want a snack, kitchen is open. For years he lived in, his kids were born on the campus. Ahavas Yisrael, Ahavas HaTorah. He created students. Nefesh Asher Asa Bechara. He took normal kids and made them normal Jews. He taught them not only how to learn Torah, he taught them how to live Torah. What does it mean to live Torah? If you have a son, you're in Israel, and you have a son in America, and you see he has problems, what do? You get on a plane, and you talk to your son. He had sons in America, hundreds of sons in America. When they had problems, he got on a plane, and he talked to them. And he talked to the parents. And he talked to the kids' friends. And he'd give this one chizuk, and that one chizuk, for 35 years. For 35 years, he commuted back and forth just in order to give chizuk. In the early 1980s, in Rav Benny's living room in Kiryat Moshe, a young lady sat crying. Her name was Avital Sharansky. Her husband was in prison in Russia. There was no way of getting him out. And she was crying over the fact that here she's married to an individual. How, when's she ever going to see him? How's he ever going to get out? And so in Rav Benny's home, they set up an organization called Shalach Et Ami to put pressure on governments, put pressure on important people to get him out. And they got him out. And from Anatoly he turned to Natan. And I still remember the first Rosh Hashanah that he was in Eretz Yisrael, that Rav Benny and his wife brought Natan, Anatoly, and Avital to Gruz, to BMT, to daven Rosh Hashanah with him. His home was a revolving door. Anyone looking for Torah, anyone looking for warmth, anyone looking for help, anyone looking for acceptance, it was there. It was just waiting there with tremendous amounts of sincerity. Ahavas Yisrael without bounds. He would go anywhere and do anything to help a fellow Jew. There are people here tonight who were at his Levaya in Yerushalayim. They can give edut that it was attended by thousands. And had it been possible, there would have been other thousands who would have attended. And to speak about his Ahavas Hashem, Benny lived emuna. He lived with the knowledge, not the thought, not the possibility. He lived with the knowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved him more than anything in the world, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved every Jew more than anything in the world. And Rav Benny wanted to publicize that love. He wanted to share that love. He wrote in his will, Ribono Shel Olam, Kol Ritzoni La'ahev Shem Shamayim Ba'olam. What I've tried to do my entire life is just to bring people to love you, to bring people to return the love that you give to people. And he viewed everything that happened to him in his life as a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, an opportunity that would enable him more to be ma'ahev shem shamayim ba'olam. When he was diagnosed with his illness last Pesach here in America, his thought was, I have to be here for treatment, it's an opportunity. I'm going to go around to any place that will accept me as a speaker and be machazik them. I'll go to high schools, I'll go to communities, I'll come here to the yeshiva, which he did. An opportunity for being ma'ahev shem shamayim ba'olam. He returned to Eretz Yisrael not to die. He returned to Eretz Yisrael to live. To live as long as the Kadosh Baruch Hu would give him. And on Rosh Hashanah, which B'mafreya was a month before his death, he came to Grus, to Davin. He had been for years the Baal Tokeya. I had the privilege of being his Makri, but we both had discussed already before I went to Eretz Yisrael, before Elul, that Lo Yitachen, in his condition to be the Baal Tokeya, he was very gaunt, he's very weak. So he asked, well, I can't blow shofar, can I speak before Tkiyat Shofar? I give chizuk. So he spoke. He spoke before Tkiyat Shofar. And when he finished speaking, he had a twinkle in his eye. We looked at one another. He took the shofar. It was a love story between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He blew shofar like he never blew shofar. 30 kolos without a hitch. And then he came back up to the bima for Malchios. Our minhag was to always look at a pasuk within Malchios that we'll try and concentrate on during those 10 tekiyot, those 10 kolot. We both looked at the pasuk, Melocha kol ha'olam kulo b'chvodecha, because that was Rav Betty's life, to be mar b'chvod shemayim. And he blew 10 kolos for Malchios. And then we looked at the pasuk, Zachreinu b'zikaron tov b'lfanecha. But afterwards, Rav Benny told me he wasn't speaking about himself, he was thinking about Klal Yisrael, and he blew 10 kolos for Zichronos. And then for Shofros, V'karev Pizureinu miben hagoyim, V'avienu l'tzion ircha berina, and he blew 8 kolos, and then it came to the last trua, and it came out du. That was the way he should have blown all 60 kolos. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he decided otherwise, but that's where he was holding. And then he blew one more tekiah and he sat down. After davening, I went over to him. It was obvious he was in pain. And I asked, is there anything I could do to help him? And he said, help me? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so good to me. Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving me the opportunity of thanking him for every breath. We don't always thank our Kadosh Baruch Hu for every breath. Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving me the opportunity of thanking him for every breath. Elokai, neshama shenatata bi, neshima shenatata bi. You give me one breath, another breath. Thank you, Kadosh Baruch Hu. Thank you, Kadosh Baruch Hu. Came back on Yom Kippur, and he spoke before Yizkor. He quoted Rav Kook from the Olas Re'iyah, that the section that we say in Vidui, Elokai, Ad shelo notzarti, eni kedai, v'achshav shenotzarti, ki'ilu lo notzarti, means Ad shelo notzarti, eni kedai, before you put me into this world, there was no reason to put me into this world. Because every soul has a mission. And every mission has a specific setting that it was meant to fulfill that mission in. And that mission didn't exist before, so Ad shelo notzarti, eni kedai, there was no reason for me to be in the world at a time where I couldn't do anything. I'm putting into the world to do something. I have a calling. And therefore, we shouldn't say, V'achshav shenotzarti, chas v'shalom ki'ilu lo notzarti. We shouldn't miss our calling. That was his message to the fellows in Grus. That was his message to the fellows in Torah Traga. But he wasn't speaking to himself because he knew his calling. He lived his calling. And Hoshana Rabba night, I got a phone call about 10 o'clock. I was about to go to the Old City, teach and to learn, to daven, that Rav Benny's not well. That he's weakened very, very much. So I ran over to the hospital, ran over to Shari Tzedek, went up to oncology, and his bed was empty. And I thought the worst. I went over to a nurse with tears in my eyes and said, what happened? She smiled at me and said, he's in the sukkah giving a shir. So I went down to the sukkah, and he was sitting there with an oxygen mask, holding a sefer of Rav Kook, surrounded by 10 Talmidim. He had a radiance about him. And he was teaching. And people were sitting around. People just walked into the sukkah, would sit and listen to the, they had no idea who he was, listen to this Rav giving a shiur to Talmidim who wanted to learn Torah. I understand that that was the last shiur that he gave. I have a note from him. He wrote it and he gave it to me before I came to Eretz Yisrael, from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laaretz. You can understand from the way that I'm speaking that we've been friends and colleagues for 35 years. We taught Torah together, we davened together, we blew shofar together. Baruch Hashem, we were zocha to dance together at each other's smachot, and we've cried together. I felt his love very, very deeply. I hope that he felt mine as well. He wrote me divrei bracha on my decision to temporarily uproot myself from Eretz Yisrael and come here to YU. He understood. He understood exactly why I was coming here. There was no need for me to explain. He ended his note with the following ma'amar. Maran HaRav, and it's very fascinating that I brought this with me when I came to Eretz Yisrael, when I came from Eretz Yisrael to here. Maran HaRav Kuk kotev she'aleinu chova shelo lahazniach et achenu shebagola. We shouldn't ignore, we shouldn't abandon our brothers in the gola. Ulahavi lahem tal chayim shel torat chayim me'eretz chayenu. We should bring them the dew of life from the Torah of life, from our land of life. Bibracha, ba'ahava, b'yedidut, deni. I didn't realize when I received the note that I would fulfill the mandate of Rav Kook by giving this hesped, by describing Rav Benny. Rav Benny was the embodiment of Tal Chaim. He was the dew of life. He revived so many souls. Rav Benny represented Torat Chaim, the Torah of life, the Torah of Eretz Chayenu, the Torah of Eretz Yisrael, the Torah of Ahava, of unbounded love, the Torah of Yididut, the Torah of true friendship. Shalom. Ani Benny. Efshar lazor. Tehei nishmato tzurah b'tzurah chayim.